Okay, 3, 2.
Hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio, and we are outdoors in Boulder, Colorado. And coming up on the show, we talk to commercial real estate developer David Haas. But first, American hedge fund investor turned Sears CEO Eddie Lampert once said, "I'm not from a retail background, but I am a shopper." I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Eddie Lampert should have stuck to shopping. But alas, he tried retail and ran Sears into the ground. But what about the rest of the retail sector? Stacy?
Well, Max, you know that a lot of the retail sector has been annihilated, and the number one cause, they say, is Amazon. Well, you know, Amazon also bought Whole Foods recently, so we have a headline about this, and it's from wolfstreet.com. Amazon Whole Foods already rattles the grocery sector. Well, you know that when Amazon's deal to acquire Whole Foods closed on August 28th, the first thing that happened was a panoply of strategic and massive price cuts on some items at Whole Foods. The second thing that happened was that the media jumped on it, creating enormous hoopla so that every consumer in the U.S. would know about it. So they gave them free publicity. But now there's actually some numbers, and the numbers come from Thassos Group via real-time data location from smartphones. Yes, they follow you on your smartphone, and they know who's going where and what's happening. And what they found was that foot traffic of all customers has tapered off since the media hype ended. As of the week ending September 16th, foot traffic decelerated to 4% year over year, but remained elevated for those who were new customers to Whole Foods. Where did they all come from? In absolute terms, their new customers at Whole Foods since Amazon purchased it was Walmart, 24% of their customers, Kroger, 16%, Costco, 15%, Target, 11%, Sam's Club, 5%, Trader Joe's, 3%, Safeway, 3%. On relative terms, however, because, you know, of course, Walmart is the largest retail in the United States, so it sounds like a lot, but actually, Walmart only 0.6% of their customers went to Whole Foods, whereas Trader Joe's lost nearly 10% of their customers to Whole Foods.
Right. Well, it's interesting that they can track demographic, psychographic, and geographic movement like this and how it affects the retailing business. And I'm really anxious to talk with David Haas in a moment about all this because he's an expert in retail and development of retail. But, you know, this is what people expected would happen once Jeff Bezos and Amazon got into shopping and into retail. I was reading something interesting that actually the history of Sears is interesting because it's similar in that they had a one product history, the watch, which they sold by mail order. And then they expanded that to become this huge shopping megalopolis that spanned America with actual retail outlets. And of course, Amazon started with books. And now they're going into the physical retail space. So they're mimicking that history quite interestingly. But this Amazon curse in the is really starting to cut into the food business, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, actually, that's an interesting article you mentioned, that there was an article that there's nothing new that Amazon has done that Sears didn't already innovate actually 100 years ago. But now Sears is basically gone, is about to go bankrupt or has gone bankrupt because of Eddie Lampert running it like the financial sector. He didn't really innovate. What he did was he brought financialization to the retail sector. Whether or not Amazon is doing that to Whole Foods, let's talk to David Haas. He's a commercial real estate property developer. And what do you think about this Amazon introduction to the food sector? It's already a low margin business. What's going to happen?
Thank you, Stacy. How you doing, Max? I find this actually a very interesting topic as a developer, and I'm working on a project right now in Vegas that I've been looking at grocery, and I actually decided that I'm not going to move forward with grocery. I think there's a lot of issues going on in the grocery market right now, besides what Amazon is going to do to the traditional grocers, because they don't have to show a profit now that Whole Foods is going to be absorbed into their quarterly earnings. And they seem, from my perspective, to get a free pass on having to actually show profit. But so I think Amazon is greatly going to hurt, I would say, the big guys such as Kroger, Publix, Albertson. I myself would only develop them if I would actually just flip it. I wouldn't hold it because I think they're going to struggle. But on top of that, you have players such as Dollar General that's been crushing Walmart. And then you have Aldi and Trader Joe's and now Lidl coming in. And what's interesting about them is they only stock the high gross margin products and have smaller stores. And if anyone that's taken a look at Trader Joe's can see that their retail sales per square foot is just so much higher than any of the competition, that I think besides kind of the smaller store market and Amazon, I think the traditional markets are going to really struggle.
Yeah, let's examine something you said there, that, okay, Amazon takes over Whole Foods, and now Whole Foods will not have to show a profit. Okay, let's dig down a little bit what you're talking about there. In other words, companies typically have to show a profit. They have to make money. This is how they grow. But with Amazon and other big companies, their funding doesn't really come from their ongoing operations. It comes from Wall Street. They go out there and they raise money, they sell stock, and they are able to operate at a loss to destroy the competition. And then when the competition is destroyed, they can start to raise prices and then actually book some profits. Is that correct?
That's exactly how I feel about the situation.
Right. So now this can be argued to be unfair competition or not. But the point you're making is that as a developer, you're shying away from grocery business. So how does this affect the consumer? Is the consumer going to, how does this play out for them?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think in the short term, the consumer is going to be better. I mean, I know we've talked about this in the past, but we all use Amazon, even though we understand that they're selling profits at a loss, putting out, you know, local retail and small businesses, but we still use it because it's better for the consumer. I think that's exactly what's going to happen with the grocery stores. The question is, what happens 7 to 10 years from now? And I don't think we have the answer, but I don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I don't think it will either. And Wolf Richter actually says it on Wall Street, is like that right now they're putting people out of business and the price war is going to be great for consumers, but in the long run, it won't be very good. But you know, what has been good for retail sector is 0% interest rates and central bank intervention in the markets. What is going on in the overall commercial real estate sector? Because outside of grocery, you have office buildings, retail sector. That we mentioned Sears at the top of the show. It seems like whenever I've gone to a mall, they're completely deserted. People shop online now, I guess. What is going on? It seems that they're still building new retail outlets and malls. What's going on there?
Well, I think this is an interesting time that we live in. I don't think it's solely Amazon that's putting out the retail. I think TJ Maxx and Marshall's and Ross and Home Goods have done a great job as well. I think the consumer has finally realized that there's no sense going to a department store and paying double the price to have the same product made in China. So from my perspective, as far as any big box goes, I shy away from it completely because I think the writing's on the wall that the majority of them are going to go out of business. For myself, I focus on smaller retail and really mainly fast food. And I guess that's what we've become as a country, that really our retail is going to be turning into mostly fast food and fast casual restaurants.
Now, the data that was provided regarding the traffic to Whole Foods found that the defecting customers, especially from Trader Joe's, in the week of the price cuts came from the wealthiest segment of each competing store's customer base. So that, of course, is the target audience. And any higher-end retail malls seem to be doing okay. Is that part of the economy? Are you seeing that? I mean, you mentioned fast food, but is there any sort of fast food for the... Because not very many Americans have disposable income anymore. It's a smaller and smaller group. So what happens to the rest of the sector?
I think that's really what survives. I think you're exactly right. The high-end malls are surviving because they have... Those customers actually have money and they increased their wealth since the last downturn. It's the traditional consumer that is struggling and doesn't have excess money. And that's why, I don't know if you guys know this, but Dollar General is the number one growing store in this country. And actually, I think 70 or 80% of all new store openings that are projected for next year are Dollar Generals.
That's unbelievable. Now, you mentioned cap rates when we spoke last night before this interview here. We met you just recently here in Colorado, and you mentioned the cap rates. And tell us what they are telling you about the economy in general, not just and the monetary system here in the United States. What, like, the extraordinary measures that have been introduced, like, what are you seeing in terms of what investors are expecting and demanding in return for their risky investments?
Yeah, so this is a good topic. So just for everyone out there that knows, the cap rate is basically the return on investment as if you bought the property entirely in, you know, in cash. So what we're seeing is lower and lower cap rates, which means that real estate prices are going higher and higher. And the issue is, and from especially from my perspective, which I'll talk to, is since I focus on smaller types of strip centers and single tenants such as Starbucks or Panera Bread or strip centers, I'm traditionally a holder of real estate, but the prices are kind of out of line right now. The market price for real estate is so high, and I gave one example to you and to Max just the other day, that I sold a Wendy's at a 4.5% cap rate. It's got a 15-year base term. That means that the person that's buying that at the end of the base term has gotten back 70% of their principal roughly. And the reason why these prices are so high and the cap rates are so low is because we don't have real interest rates in this country. And without real interest rates, people are chasing yield. All the buyers of my products have all been retirees, because although the stock market's been going gangbusters, if you're in your 70s right now, do you really want to put that much money in the stock market? Because we don't know what's going to happen. You have to be, you know, more conservative. So they've been chasing yield and buying fast foods and fast casuals and Dollar Generals and mattress firms, which is a whole nother story, at ridiculously low cap rates and overpaying for the real estate.
Well, you piqued our interest there with mattress firms. You mean like those stores you drive by that say that sell nothing but mattresses? Is that what you're talking about?
What I would say is I've developed multiple, and they've been a very good tenant of mine. I have to just put the disclaimer out there. But what I'll say is I find it very interesting and very scary. You guys are in Boulder right now. You should drive to the corner of 28th Street and Canyon, and there's literally three mattress firms on the intersection. And you can go into town after town after town. And at the time that they grew so fast and they overpaid for rent, and they did take very good locations, I will say, they took the best locations. They were owned by private equity. It's probably something Wolf Richter should actually write about, but it's actually an interesting thing. They went public, then their, surprise, surprise, their quarterly earnings are bad because they have three stores within, I would say, a tenth of a mile, but somehow they sold it at 115% of their share price to a South African furniture company. And I just think it's actually it's pretty interesting topic. And I could tell you for myself, I just bought new mattresses and I bought them online for half the price that I could have bought at my mattress firm. And they were by the manufacturers that used to manufacture for Tempur-Pedic, and it's the best bed I owned.
I want to also say, you know, one thing we notice in North Carolina where we live is the public storage space seems to be, is that a private equity scam too?
Oh, that's actually that's not private equity. That one's REIT. It's all Wall Street. I actually just looked into developing that in Vegas. So this is kind of funny one. I guess I got to speak quick looking at the time here. But basically, they will do the REITs will do a market study. If they like the site, you can move forward. The construction has to be under your company. And then at CO, which is certificate of occupancy, you can sell it for the REIT for about $1 million to $2 million profit. And these are about $8 million projects. Or you can lease it to them. They will get it to stabilization, which takes about 1.5 to 2 years. And then they'll buy it at about a $5 to $6 million profit. And yet they're still making over 11% on their money. And it's pretty interesting. And as a developer, it's something that I actually have to look at.
Well, all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, David Haas. Until next week, bye, y'all.